Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this time. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. Greg Ebbe tells the following. In the autumn of 1944, Germany had been beaten back behind its borders. The Nazi war machine was nearly destroyed. The repeated bombing raids of the Allies all but assured that Hitler's forces would never rise again. Around the perimeter of Germany's borders, the Allies spread a thin line of forces. One person observed that Allied forces were so scattered that a man could slip between its lines without ever being observed. All across Europe, there was celebration rejoicing in Germany's defeat. The war was effectively over. The only problem was somebody forgot to tell Germany. Even as his forces were being shattered and driven back, Hitler was devising a plan for one last onslaught. Underground factories churned out more weapons, armament, and ammunition. More of Germany's young and old men were conscripted and trained for war. And as Europe rejoiced, Hitler planned. Hitler's goal was not to drive back the Allies into the sea as much as it was to divide the British to the north and Americans to the south, so demoralizing them that they would seek peace on his terms and not theirs. On December 16, 1944, Hitler's army began the Ardennes Offensive, also known as the Battle of the Bulge. Over 1 million men fought along an 85-mile front. When the fighting ended over a month later, hundreds and thousands of men died because somebody forgot that the enemy still lived and that the war was not over. In its entirety, the Battle of the Bulge was the worst battles in terms of losses to the American forces in World War II. The Winter Battle of 1944-45 led to 81,000 American casualties, including 23,554 captured and 19,000 killed. No one will ever know how many of these could have been spared if the Allies had reinforced their positions instead of celebrating an early end of the war across Europe. Similarly, in the spiritual battle, Satan's been defeated. What appeared to be Satan's greatest victory was actually his ultimate defeat. Satan and his demonic forces were crushed as Christ triumphed over them by the cross and his resurrection. But while Christ has won the victory, the warfare is not over, as Satan continues to plan, scheme, and lead an underground covert battle of deception. As the Allies could have spared many casualties by reinforcing their positions and being prepared, so in the spiritual warfare we are engaged in, by being prepared and putting on the armor of God, we can keep from being a casualty by the attacks of Satan against the church. In this spiritual warfare, Satan wars to discourage and demoralize us and keep us from growing in Christ and serving Him. He tries to keep our focus on ourself and on the temporal, and he tries to destroy our testimony for Christ through sin. The Christian life is a battle, and in this spiritual battle, God wants us to stand for Him and to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Paul's been showing the believer in this book that we are in Christ. You see that preposition all through Ephesians. We are in perfect, total, eternal union with our Savior. And as we are in Him, we find that His life is my life and His power is my power. We draw the power for living the Christian life from our Savior. Ephesians 1:19-20 says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead." So when we come to Ephesians chapter 6, and it says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might," it has to do with, by faith, living in the resurrection life and power which resides in every believer. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power we're to use to stand for the Lord in the spiritual battle. Every believer can stand in the battle against the surprise attacks, the schemes, influences, and temptations of the enemy on the terms of the resurrection power of Christ. And it's been rightly said, so simply too, that the strength of the Christian life is dependence on God. And so Paul points us to that, points us to be strong in the Lord, to depend on Him in the power of His might. The question was asked in a Sunday school class one time, how can we defeat Satan? And one little girl's hand shot in the air and she said, let Jesus answer the door when Satan starts knocking. That's a good answer. When we depend on Him, there's victory over Satan. To be instructed to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might tells us something. It tells us that our might, that our power is not strong enough for us to be able to stand in the spiritual battle. And it tells us that we face an enemy much stronger than we are apart from Christ. And so we need the infinite strength and power of our Lord in the spiritual battle. And we appropriate that strength by yielding to the indwelling Holy Spirit through prayer, by knowledge of, faith in, and obedience to the living Word of God, rightly divided. And like Israel was told in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4, the same is true for us. For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save or deliver you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. To be strong in the Lord and to be able to stand in the spiritual battle, Paul says we need to put on the armor of God. The first thing we need to note that is that it's God's armor. It's the armor of God that He supplies to the church. But we see that we have the responsibility to put it on. So God provides it by grace, by faith, that we need to put it on. And this armor is all about your relationship with Christ. Each piece stems from knowing Christ and being like Him, because Christ is truth. He is our righteousness. He is peace. He is faithful and our shield. He is our salvation. He is the Word of God. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so putting on the whole armor of God is literally about putting on the Lord Jesus. Now chapter 4 of Ephesians has already instructed us about putting something on. It told us to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And putting on the armor of God is about putting on the new man. There you go, hand in hand. It's about yielding to the new life within, the yielding to God's life, the strength within we have through the Spirit. The armor of God is a complete outfit. By it, we are protected from head to foot. It contains both defensive and offensive pieces. And by it, we have the necessary defense and protection in this spiritual war to be able to stand and bring glory to God. The armor is a unit. It is one. It's just like the fruit of the Spirit. Or the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit with nine elements. So this armor is one armor with, I believe, seven pieces. We need the whole unit. We need all pieces to be able to stand in the spiritual battle and not be vulnerable to Satan's darts and schemes against us, where he tries to exploit our weaknesses. Thus we're instructed to put on the whole armor of God. And the words put on there in verse 11, that's an imperative in the original Greek. That's a command of God. All of God's commands are for our good and our benefit. God's will is for us to array ourselves in His armor in order to meet a spiritual foe, to take to ourselves all that God provides for us to stand in this battle. Now, Paul, when he wrote this, he might have been chained to a Roman soldier, or at least near one, as he penned these words from prison. And he's looking at soldiers and their armor, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul makes an analogy of God's spiritual provision for us in the real spiritual war that each of us are engaged in. And Paul says we need to put on or clothe ourselves in this armor for the purpose of being able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Having this armor on will allow us to stand. And that the word stand literally speaks of standing firm. It's a military word, and it speaks of being fixed, firm, resisting the enemy, maintaining the ground, holding a critical position while under attack is the idea behind the word. And Paul says we can firmly stand by God's power and in God's armor against Satan's wiles, which are his deceitful plotting and scheming against us and the church, by which he tries to make us fall in the Christian life and lead us away from the Lord. And some of the things he strives to do in his scheming are what Paul has been teaching us about in this book. In his book, When the Enemy Strikes, Charles Stanley says this: "The devil actively seeks to separate husbands and wives, parents and children, employers and employees. He seeks to destroy friendships and divide churches." And that's what the subject matter of the latter half of the book of Ephesians has been all about, all of these very topics. Satan wants to destroy your Christian marriage. He wants children to rebel against their parents and their instruction. He wants to cause division in the home, division in the church, and division in the workplace. That's all a part of his scheming. And we need to beware, and we need to be applying the truths of the second part of Ephesians to our life to be able to stand against these wiles of the devil.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
This week's featured book, Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians by Pastor Paul Sadler, is a symphony of God's wonderful grace revealed in its fullness. This volume is a verse-by-verse commentary that extensively explores both the riches of God's grace and the riches of His glory. It takes a fresh new look at our standing and state from the perspective of the Word rightly divided. To order Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, contact Berean Bible Society at P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin 53022, or call 262-255-4750.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There was once a boxer who was being pummeled in the ring by his opponent, blow after blow by his adversary, left him with a bloody nose, swollen eyes. He's in an enormous amount of pain. The battered boxer's trainer, trying to encourage his man between rounds as he sat there, kept telling him, "You're doing great. That bum's barely touching you." And the boxer responded, "And you better keep your eye on the referee, because someone out there is beating the daylights out of me." In the real spiritual battle we're in, we can sometimes feel like someone's beating the daylights out of me. And we feel discouraged, we feel depressed, we feel down, defeated, and we wonder, what in the world's going on? And Paul says here, we wrestle, or literally struggle in hand-to-hand combat against the unseen world of demonic forces. Paul shows us how we not only struggle in this battle against Satan himself, but then he shows in verse 12 against all of these demonic forces in higher heavenly places. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not on a physical plane, but on a spiritual plane, in a spiritual battle against a spiritual enemy that requires spiritual armor and spiritual power to stand. The demons, like the devil, they are not flesh and blood. And the battle is against battalions of fallen angels, against evil spirits who wield great power. The demonic world we cannot see is the formidable enemy that we face. And it's a desperate battle, and it has eternal consequences. The devil and his demonic army attack the church. They labor to destroy Christian testimonies, to cause the church to lose its passion, lose its light, cause us to have a very dim light for Christ, when the Lord wants us to be such a bright light for Him. Satan and his demons, they cannot take away your salvation in Christ. We've learned that in the book of Ephesians, that you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by the almighty power of God. But they can rob you of your testimony. They can rob you of your desire to live for the Lord. The devil and his angels work to deceive the lost and to blind the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. Satan and his army then, they promote false deceptive teachings and doctrines of demons, according to 1 Timothy 4:1. And this is just false information, false teaching, that substitutes something different, someone different, anything different from Christ alone and His grace and His love. And that's what you see all around us, that the world is full of dark beliefs and people are spiritually dead and they need the Lord and His light and His salvation. And we need to shine. And we need to hold forth the word of life and stand in the spiritual battle so people might find life in Christ. Millions upon millions upon millions are wrapped up in superstition, emotionalism, legalism, mysticism, idolatry, works, trying to earn their way to heaven. Faith alone in Christ, that He died for our sins and rose again, is not even contemplated. And our hearts should break, because according to God's word, Christ alone is the one and only way to heaven and eternal life. Just faith in Him alone. The millions upon millions who are lost and deceived by false beliefs and false religions all speak to us of the reality of the struggle within the spiritual battle. And they need to be rescued and liberated from the power, dominion, and authority of Satan's kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, as Colossians 1 tells us. Matt Woodley writes this: a few summers ago, I watched our 18-year-old son participate in a real X-ball paintball tournament with sophisticated paintball guns that shoot 13 paintballs per second. Can you imagine it? The matches are quick and exciting. They're also chaotic. The X-ball concept depends on 5 players from each team shooting at their opponents and working their way up a large outdoor field. The goal is to kill or hit with a paintball the other team's players so you can capture their flag. But it's not an easy task. The main problem is that in the midst of thousands of flying paintballs, it's tough to spot your opponents, for one. The other team can crouch and dive behind bunkers and barriers. To make matters even worse, as your team's coach shouts the right and correct information about your opponent's locations, the other team's fans yell false information. When I heard the other fans intentionally confusing my son's teammates, I was shocked, he said. It sounded like cheating to me, or at least not civil. But after the match, my son calmly informed me. He said, "Oh yeah, that's called counter coaching. They're trying to distract our players with false information. It's part of the contest, Dad," he said. "We have to deal with it all the time. It just means that we have to focus on our coach and block out all the other distractions." The lost are led astray by false information, but believers can be also. The Bible clearly warns us that there will be plenty of counter coaching from the culture, from the devil, from our own distracted hearts in the spiritual battle. And there's only one way to combat spiritual counter-coaching. Know the voice of Christ. Hang on to His word, rightly divided. trust and obey the Lord, even when the crowd or the devil tells you to do something different. We got to focus on Christ. We got to hang on tight to the truth of His Word so we are not deceived or distracted in the battle, so we are not led astray by false information, and so we remain focused on the main things that God wants done in the Christian life. Our Lord said in His earthly ministry that the everlasting fire of the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. They know that verse, the devil and his angels. Satan and his hosts know what the Word of God says. They know it says that they are sentenced eternally to the lake of fire. And they are working desperately and ferociously and fervently and fiercely in knowing that fate and trying to change that fate if they can. But they can't and they won't. They have been and are and will war ceaselessly to break the power of God, even that's impossible, to destroy the things of God, especially you and me. They want to destroy us, the church. And to do so, Satan has highly organized and structured his enormous forces for the most destructive warfare possible. Each of these groups in verse 12 listed here is preceded by the word against, and it represents a particular category of demon activity and a level of authority. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, they describe different stratas and levels of rank, authority, and responsibility among this evil host. Paul doesn't explain the details of this demonic hierarchy, and it's just speculation to guess what they are and what they do. But what he does clearly show us is that there is design, there is sophistication, there is purpose, and there is order in their ranks. And that's enough for us to realize, and knowing that they're this organized, that our adversary is dangerous and he is prepared for battle. And it teaches us that we need to be prepared for battle. The number of the fallen angels is enormous. Hebrews 12:22 describes the elect angels as an innumerable company of angels. One third of this innumerable host of angels fell with Satan at his defection, and we can be certain that one third is also innumerable. Satan's a powerful foe, and he is not all-knowing, and he is not present everywhere. But it's because of his massive army that he's able to accomplish so much all around the world. And this fallen host has been around a while, a lot longer than we've been around. So not only are they formidable in number, they're formidable in being highly experienced. For thousands of years, they've observed man, and they know the nature and tendencies of man and what can cause him to fall. They know every trick in the book. It's been said of the forces of evil, rightly, that they are plentiful, they're powerful, they're prepared, and they're predatory. They are vicious, and they're looking to devour. And it is dangerous for us to think we're safe. It's dangerous for us to think we don't need to worry about them. It's dangerous for us to think that we've mastered Scripture. It's dangerous to think that we believe we're spiritually mature enough. It's dangerous to feel that we are strong enough to live and stand for the Lord apart from the Lord. We are vulnerable to Satan's attacks and can fall when we have that kind of attitude. Recognizing that you're weak makes you the strongest in life. Because when you do so, you realize you need the Lord. And in the Lord's power, there's safety and protection, strength and victory. Being on the Lord's side is being on the side of the one who is far above all of these demonic forces. It's being on the side of our Lord, who after his cross and resurrection spoiled these principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, and at Colossians 2:15 says, so we are on the side of infinite power and victory. We can rest in knowing that we're on the side of the God of all glory, whose power is incomparable and infinitely greater than those of these demons, whose authority is far above all of them. As far as the demons' formidable numbers, I like how the Lord assured King Jehoshaphat when his army faced the superior forces in number of Moab and Ammon, and they were encouraged by the Lord, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Ephesians 6, verse 13 says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Being reminded of who our enemy is with their organization and schemes, it shows that we need the whole armor of God. And as Paul tells the church, we need to take unto you that whole armor. We don't make this armor, we just have to take it. It's available from God. It's His provision of strength and protection. But we have a responsibility to do our part and to take it by turning to the Lord in faith, by growing in the Word of God, by applying it to our lives, and by being a faithful prayer warrior. We need to take up the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand when the conflict reaches its fiercest intensity and still be found standing when the smoke of the battle has cleared away and you're still standing there. The evil day of verse 13 speaks of any time when the enemy strikes and attacks and comes in against us like a flood. Satanic opposition seems like that to occur in waves, where it advances and then it recedes, and then it advances and it recedes. Even after our Lord's temptation in the wilderness, it says that the devil left him for a season. Having done all, as it says there in verse 13, having done all things necessary and being ready and being prepared, putting on God's entire spiritual armor, when the adversary attacks, we'll stand and not turn or run. We'll firmly hold our ground, unmoved, for the glory of our Lord. Please visit our website at BereanBibleSociety.org. We have an extensive library, a big library of materials to offer here at BBS. After 77 years of ministry here, there's been a lot published by Berean Bible Society, and it's all for the purpose to help and enhance your study of God's Word, rightly divided. You can give us a call, too, at 262-255-4750, and we'll send you a free price list. Thank you for tuning in to Transformed by Grace.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.BereanBibleSociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.